Hey everybody, it's Jeff. Thanks for joining me for this week's Wednesday Word. Today we get to start a brand new series that we're calling Road to the Cross. And what Pastor Julie and I are going to do is we're going to use the Gospel of Mark as a guide and spend the next several weeks leading all the way through Good Friday to talk about some different stops in Jesus's life from the Last Supper to his death and burial. And you may have heard this called Road to the Cross before or Stations of the Cross. There's a lot of variations of this out there, but we thought it would be a really good thing to look at as we head towards Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. And today, like I said, we're going to start with the Last Supper. So the scripture I'll be looking at is Mark 14. It'd be about 17 through 31. I'm not going to read all of that, but that would be the passage we're looking at. And it covers the Last Supper and then also Jesus predicting Peter's denial. But the Last Supper is what I really want to focus on today. So a lot of us have heard the Last Supper passages before. We say it a lot of times before we take communion in our churches. And, you know, Jesus is there and they're eating and he takes a loaf of bread. And after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And this is really important. Jesus is saying, "Here's my body. I came to earth." Jesus had to come to earth as fully human to pay the price for our sins. That was the only way that it would work. So he's showing, he's like, "Here's my body," and then it's broken for him, for us, so that we could have eternal life. And then he says to them, "This is my blood of the covenant," when he's talking about the cup, which is poured out for many. His blood is spilled, as we say, to pay the price for our sins. So there's these two elements that we still take today, the bread and the cup of juice or wine or whatever is used to symbolize and to show that Jesus came. He came as man, and he was put to death as a man to pay the price for us forever before we even came. And we still celebrate communion today. And I want to kind of hit on two things that I always think about when it comes to communion. And the first one is personal. And it's a time that I can always remember and reflect about what the sacrifice really means for me, that sacrifice that Jesus made. I remember the church I grew up in had a table up in the front where they would put the communion elements when we would take them, and the table was engraved and it said, "This do in remembrance of me." And Jesus wants us to remember that sacrifice. He wants us to think about what it really means. So I try to approach it with gratitude. The fact that, wow, God sent, the Father sends the Son to die before he even knows me, before I'm even there. He knows what I'm going to do, but he sends his Son to die, to remember that, to reflect on that. And then for me, it's a call to obedience, to examine my life and see, okay, where do I need to make changes so that I'm living more obedient to God? And that's a time for me to be like, wow, I need to repent here. Or I need to just let God speak to me here and let him really guide me. And communion, I think, for me is a great time to get to do that. The second part with communion is how it brings us together as Christians. And it can bring us together in our local churches and also just as Christians and through the big churches across the world. Because it's something we can come together and agree on. And we know that Jesus died for our sins, and by us accepting him, we have eternal life. And in a world that wants us, I feel like, to be divided sometimes, that gives us a ton of things to come into conflict about with all these differences of opinions we can have. And they're everywhere, and we all know it. We have differences of opinions on political matters, just on personal matters and personal opinions, even on what kind of music we listen to. Sometimes that can turn into these conflicts that we don't need to have. But at the communion table, we can remember something that Jesus did for all of us. Even though it was personal, it's something that is we all received. And when we take it together, I think that's such a cool, you know, unifying experience that we're all taking it together. And that's something that can bind us together that can't be broken. You know, Jesus always did that. That won't change. Everything else will fade. You know, if we decide at some point to have a conversation and it comes out of who we voted for in an election, and we maybe think we're in conflict over that. Well, at the communion table, it's more powerful. You know, the political election or whatever it is going to fade. But the fact that Jesus died for us and we can remember that in communion, that doesn't fade away. That's always there. You know, if it comes out that I like country music, which I do, and you think anything with a twang is the biggest disgrace to music and musicians anywhere? Guess what? Same deal. All right, the twang eventually is going to fade, but the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross never does. It's for eternity, it's for our eternal life. So I think that's still the power in, in the account of the Last Supper, and when we still celebrate and remember communion today as a church. So next time you come to the communion table, however you do it, I would encourage you to think about your life personally and what it looks like for you and what you need to remember. But then also, kind of look around and see those people we're taking it with and think about the power of communion and how it brings us together as Christians as well. So I hope that you will come back next week, next Wednesday, as Pastor Julie takes us to our next stop on the road to the cross. And as always, thanks for hanging out, everybody.